it's mainly to exchange experiences. And it's very interesting because the oldest participant is 92. He was prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials. And then you have prosecutors from the ICC, from the Sierra Leone Tribunal, the Cambodia Chambers, from the ICTY and ICTR. So it's quite an important meeting.
And you adopted a declaration at that meeting in which you call on states to keep the spirit of Nuremberg alive. What do you mean by that?
Indeed, at the end of each meeting, we make a declaration in relation to areas of concern. Because what we see today is that we have even more conflicts than ever in the past. And in those different conflicts, the number of civilian victims is even much higher. Never ever since the Second World War have there been so many refugees and internally displaced persons. And we see very little accountability for those crimes committed, where the victims are the most vulnerable members of society, women, children, elderly persons. And we are calling for accountability for those crimes.
In practical terms, what can be done to ensure that there is accountability for these crimes?
I mean, there are many things which can be done. The UN is using investigations commissions to make records of the crimes committed. We have still those ad hoc and hybrid tribunals, which are mainly finishing their work. And there is International Criminal Court, which is today the main player. We hope that one day international justice will be universal and applied in the same manner to all countries on our planet.
Talking about the international criminal justice system, in a country, for instance, you'll have courts and then you'll have mechanism for enforcing. Let's say if there's a warrant of arrest, the police will go and arrest the person who is wanted for crimes. At the international level, how does it work?
When we are coming together as international prosecutors, we see the main differences with a national prosecutor. I've been federal chief prosecutor in Brussels, in Belgium, before. And if a crime is committed in Belgium, you have very easy access to the territory. You have a clear legal framework in which you are functioning. You have all the resources and all the expertise necessary to do your job. You have the support by the public opinion because everybody wants justice to be done. And you have the support by the political level because everybody wants a functioning judiciary in the majority or in all democracies. If you are an international prosecutor, nothing of that is the reality. You do 100% of your work outside the country in which you are working. The legal framework is not always so clear. Very often we don't have the support by the public opinion because some of the people we are prosecuting for alleged crimes are considered as heroes by their respective communities. And the political level is not always very supportive because we are, in many cases, prosecuting members of these political communities. So it is much more complex and complicated. You mentioned the issue of arrests. I would say that this is today one of the main challenges for international tribunals. The ICC has a number of fugitives which are still out there. The ICTR, same, 9 people still under arrest warrant, which are fugitives.
Is there anything that can be done to improve the situation? This seems to be a weakness.
It is for sure a weakness. And you know, as international prosecutors, we can conduct investigations. We can submit evidence to judges to have arrest warrants issued. But we don't have our own police force or military force to have arrests implemented. We have to rely on the international community to do so. And if ICTY has been more successful than the other tribunals, it's basically because there was a very clear political agenda. The European Union has put in place the so-called conditionality policy because all the countries of former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, wanted for many years to join the European Union. Croatia, in the meantime, is member of the European Union. And the European Council of Ministers made it very, very clear. You want to join the European Union? Fine. But there are a number of conditions to be fulfilled. One of the conditions, full cooperation with ICTY, meaning the arrest of the remaining fugitives.
Now, give me your assessment of the progress that the ICTY has made so far, and when are you expecting to wrap up?
We are now dealing with our 4 last trials in relation to Karadzic, Mladic, Hadzic, and we are still waiting for a judgment in relation to Šešelj. According to the current timeline, all trials, first instance trials, should be over by 16. The last appeal judgment should come out in 2017. And the plan is that by the end of 17, ICTY will close its doors. A so-called mechanism for international criminal tribunals has already been set up. So while ICTY will close in 2017, there will be a mechanism to make sure that the remaining functions are performed and that the prosecution offices in the former Yugoslavia have a partner in The Hague. Because even if we are closing our doors, there will be many cases still to be investigated and prosecuted in the former Yugoslavia. In Bosnia alone, there are 2,500 investigations waiting to be completed. So the story will not be over with the closure of the ICTY.